broken and sad, full of resignation, and I don't even know how a laugh can be all of that. He clicks off the call before I can ask him anything else. I'm glued to my spot, watching the door. Shouldn't he be in New York? Oh no. I'm worried that maybe he found out about me going to his place this morning, but before I can completely freak out and lose my shit, a knock comes, commanding and loud. My phone falls to the floor. My legs break into motion and I throw the door open. Thomas stands at the threshold, his arms propped on the frame on either side. Our eyes clash like a bolt of lightning. At first, my heart stutters at the wealth of emotions brimming in his gaze, and then it pounds. It pounds as I take in the rest of his appearance. Wrinkled shirt, messy hair, stubbled jaw. He looks undone. The strings holding his body together have come apart, unraveled. A shiver racks his frame. Startled, I whip my gaze up and find his eyes solely focused on my face, drinking in my features, devouring them. He is eating me up with his magnificent gaze, but I don't understand why. Thomas, what's going on? My voice brings out another bout of shivers, and I notice for the first time how tightly he's holding on to the doorframe. His veins are vibrating from the effort. Thomas, you're scaring me. What's happening? Whatever anger I had at him, whatever self-preservation I had is gone, and I walk closer to him. All I know is that he needs me. That's all I understand as I uncurl the fingers of his right hand from the frame using both of mine. It's a struggle, but I manage to unclasp his grip and hold his hand tightly. Only then does he move his eyes from my face and look at our joined hands. My small pale ones are enclosing his thick darker one. I feel the undercurrent of energy through his skin. I feel the chaos, the mayhem running through his veins.
You live in a fucking construction zone, he mutters.
I call it my tower. The tightness in his hand loosens and I take an easy breath. Why aren't you in New York?
Because I have to tell you something.
What?
You're beautiful, you know that?
He says, instead of answering my question. Somehow his voice shivers too, a rumbly sort of vibration that I feel in my tattoo. He lets go of the door frame and crowds me, forcing me to take a step back. He brings his other hand to cut my cheek. His fingers tremble over my skin and I put my hand over them to give them stability. Thomas, please, tell me what's going on. His Adam's apple jumps up and down.
No, that's not right. You're not beautiful. I think you're the most exquisite thing I've ever seen.
He licks his lips, his eyes flitting back and forth.
No, not a thing. You're more than that, Layla. You're the poem I can never write. Yeah. You're the piece of poetry I can never hope to finish, no matter how hard I try.
Thomas, I whisper, a fat tear rolling down my cheek. My wounded heart squeezes in my chest. It's like he's caressing the walls of it, leaving his fingerprints forever for me to carry. The way he's stumbling over his words, I can't bear to see it. He leans into me, grabbing both my cheeks now, wiping off the tears.
The first time I saw you at the bookstore, you had these crazy headphones on and you were dancing to the music. I saw something pop over your head, a word. I couldn't place it, not until I saw you in my class. That's when I realized that you were so bright and loud and shiny, like...
Like what?
Scarlet,
he whispers, his breath misty over my tear-drenched lips. This time, my laugh is broken and sad and full of resignation. Yeah, I'm that, right? Like Hester Prynne. I bet it's clear to everyone. The force of his grip increases, flattening my cheeks.
No, it's not, because it's not true. Do you understand me? It's not. You're nothing like her or anyone else. You're not...
a slut? He grits his teeth.
Fuck no. You're not. You'll never be that. Tell me you know that. Say it, Layla.
His face is a blurry painting through the lens of my tears. A labyrinth of emotions and expressions I can't place. The only thing grounding me in this moment is the vivid color of his eyes. They are jarring in their sincerity. They beg me to give him that, to believe him. And when have I ever been able to refuse him? I'm not a slut. He nods his head, sighing, sending a burst of his chocolatey breath into my lungs.
That's right. You're not.
I can't do it anymore, I blurt out. I know I promised I wouldn't regret it, but I do. I regret all the things we did and the way we did them. It wasn't right, Thomas. We broke all the rules. A sob racks my frame.
Shh. Hey, we're not. We're not doing it anymore, okay? It's over.
Okay. My hands find his shirt and fist the fabric. I sob on his chest, bringing him closer to me when I should let him go. It's over. All the illicit things we've been doing, all the things I've been hiding from Emma, all of it is over. But I don't feel relief. I just feel enormous amounts of pain and hurt and burn. He rocks me in his arms like a child, and I clutch at him harder. He's the only thing keeping me together and making me fall apart, and no matter what I said, I don't want to let go. I don't regret falling in love. I only regret how it happened. At some point, I stop crying and simply hold on to him because I don't want this to end. I breathe him in and he does the same. His arms are shaking around me and I look up at him. I've never seen his face so expressive before, like a battered page of an ancient book. There are stains of agony and regret. He stares down at me with a half smile, a pathetic attempt to appear nonchalant. He looks like he wants to say something, but he stops himself. Then he bends down and places a soft kiss on my forehead, lingering for about 2 seconds before he takes a step back. It was tender and soft and all the things I've always wanted. He takes me in, one last time, and then turns around and begins walking to the elevator. Astonished, I stand there, immobile. That's it? Is this how it ends? He never told me why he came here. A beep sounds, signaling the arrival of the elevator. The steel door whooshes open, but before he can get on, I dash to him and cling to his strong body, twining my arms and legs around him. He jerks to a stop, one arm grabbing my wrist on his chest and the other resting on the small of my back. We both shudder with panting breaths. Then, as if he whispered the words in my ears, I hear them clearly. This is goodbye. He came to say goodbye like he promised he would.
Goodbyes aren't my forte, but I won't leave you like a coward either.
It's enough to send me sobbing again, but I remain silent and wrapped around him, simply breathing him in. I won't make this harder than it has to be. I won't. I won't. Thomas tries to unwind my arms, but despite everything, I hold onto him tighter.
Let me go, Layla. I need to go.
I know. I burrow my nose in his neck, run my teeth over his skin. His flavor explodes over my tongue, making me all drugged up and crazy. But before you go, could you stay a little while? As soon as I say it, I'm filled with shame. I shouldn't have said that. I made a promise to his child that I wouldn't break up his family, but my brain is sluggish right now. My body is dying for his. Even so, I untwine my arms and legs and slide down, feeling the ridges of his back, the patterns of his muscles on the gentle hills and valleys of my front. I'm waiting for him to leave. He's waiting for it too, if his accelerated breathing is any indication. And yet Thomas spins around and faces me. The hunger in his expression is unmistakable. I'm rendered speechless by it. He bends down to plant a hard kiss onto my lips. A ticking pulse starts down below, in my pussy. A bomb that could blow up at any minute.
Last time, he growls over my mouth. Ask me to promise you that this is the last time.
I don't want to, but it needs to be done. We're going to be over by the time we both come. The amount of time we have left is the length of one fuck. This is how we began, right? And this is how we'll end. I want to laugh at the rightness of it all. I want to cry. Promise me that this is the last time. Tectonic plates shift under the harsh surface of his body, juddering and rearranging themselves.
Yeah, I promise.
After that, there isn't any need for words. He hauls me up in his arms and strides over to my apartment. Our lips fuse together, my fingers holding onto his hair. He kneads the globes of my ass as he kicks the door shut, and his long legs eat up the distance to the opposite wall. My back thuds against it, a sharp pain shooting in my skull. But I just kiss him harder. I latch onto his lips like I'll never let him go. He props me against the wall with his hips, fitting his hardness over my core. His greedy hands wander up and down my bare thighs. He tucks his thumb inside the hem of my polka dot sleep shorts and edges closer and closer to my wet, hot center. His tongue slides down my neck, and he takes a bite out of the swell of my right breast. This is what happens when we're in close proximity. We combust. We burn. He yanks down the straps of my cami and exposes my puffy tits, lashing my nipples with his tongue, one at a time.
Oh, God.
I arch against the wall, bending myself into a taut half moon. He lets go of my thighs and frames my face with his hands, forcing me to look at him. Our chests move in sync, one breath in and one breath out. Our lips are parted. Our eyes swirl with animal lust. In this moment, we're more than soulmates. We inhabit each other's bodies. We are one. One skin, one heart, one need. He smacks a hard and fast kiss on my lips and whips my shorts off, leaving me half-dressed in my cami, which is bundled up beneath my breasts. On his knees now, he bands an arm around my waist to keep me steady, and with the other he parts my trembling thighs. Then he falls on me, tongue, teeth, and mouth. I get them all. He slashes my core with his decadent, dirty touches, a long suck on my clit. A couple of jarring rotations of his fingers inside me. All the while he murmurs dirty nothings to my quivering cunt. He tells her how much he loves her taste, how much of a good girl she is to respond to him this way. How he's never going to forget how tight and hot she is. How she hugs his cock like a glove a size too small but somehow still right. I come in the wake of his filthy words. His dirty poetry to my hungry cunt, and it's glorious, magical, potentially life-altering. All I can do is dangle my fingers in his hair and chant his name over and over. He presses a soft, fluttering kiss on my tattoo and stands up. His arms lift me from the floor and carry me bridal style in the general direction of my bedroom, which I waved at in my half-drowsy state. I nuzzle in the hollow of his throat as he enters and lays me down on the bed. He then proceeds to make enough space around me so we can get comfortable. I watch him with hooded eyes as he unbuttons his shirt halfway. then snags it in the back and pulls it over his head. His jeans come off next, leaving him magnificently, heartbreakingly naked. My hands twitch with the need to traverse the solid pack of muscles of his chest and abdomen. The raven curls sprinkling his chest exude sheer masculinity. He runs his gaze over my body, from the cloud of my hair to the tips of my flexing toes. He's committing me to his memory, like I'm doing to him. I arch my back for him and his cock gives a jerk, licking his lips. He grabs it at the base, then pumps it once, twice. His touch on his own cock translates to the erotic sensations in my core, and a trickle of cum seeps out. The muscles of his thighs bunch as he bends down to retrieve a condom from his jeans. No. No condoms. His displeased frown makes me rub my thighs together. And no pussy either. Now his frown is more than displeased. It's thunderous. He locks his palms on my knees and applies pressure until my thighs are parted. And my needy flesh is open to his eyes.
You want to repeat that?
His voice has dropped an octave lower, scraping my senses, arousing them even more. I want it in my ass. Bold, bold words for someone who's pinned down on the bed simply by the intense look of her lover. I bet if he told me to stay still so he could cut out a piece of my heart, I'd obey him. I'm so far gone for him that he could fool me easily. He arches his eyebrows and prowls over my body, his sculpted arms putting on a show for me.
What?
My toes dip into the springy hair of his calves as I reply. If this is the last time, then I want you where you've never been. His hair falls over his head as he lowers himself over me, propped up on his arms.
It's going to hurt.
I know. A fierce expression flickers over his face, not yet taking hold but lurking.
I don't want to hurt you.
I would laugh if I weren't on the verge of crying, again. He's already hurt me a million times before. What's one more? I want the hurt. I want the burn. He told me once that he'd ruin me for any other man, and that this is how he'd do it. I want him to do it. I want this. I want to be ruined for every other man out there because no one is like him. If I can't have him, then no one will ever have me. I'll be alone. The very thing I was running from. I want it now. I whisper. It's okay. A drop of sweat from his forehead plops down between my breasts and he watches its descent. His breathing is erratic. He wants this as much as me. In fact, he might be afraid of how much he wants it.
I might not be able to stop.
He is measuring each word, striving to make them just right.
Once I get in.
I cup his harsh jaw and rub his calves with my feet. But you'll make it good. You always make it so good for me. Please, Thomas. My pouting lips are his demise. That fierce expression overtakes his features, darkening his eyes and flushing his cheeks crimson. He moves away and hauls me up by my arm. I yelp as I go on my knees, facing him. We take each other in. Panting, mad with lust. My eyes home in on the mole on his collarbone, the mole I somehow missed during our previous encounters. I reach out and touch it, and then splay my hand over his chest, feeling the tattoo of his heartbeats on my palm. I watch the interplay of his abdominal muscles as he sucks in deep breaths, throwing the lines of his ribs in sharp relief. If I focus really hard, I can pretend we're two people in love. This is what happens when your love is requited. You control each other. You live for each other. He grabs my arms and yanks them over my head, then takes off my barely there cami. Now I'm as naked as him, shivering under the deluge of goosebumps. His hands close over my breasts and knead the flesh. My breath picks up, and so does my heart. I feel it ballooning in my chest, pressing against my ribcage. My arousal seems bigger than me right now. The more he massages my achy tits, the more restless I become. I rock my lower body, grazing the head of his cock with my stomach, making him grunt. Letting go of my breasts and moving away, Thomas grabs the back of my neck and pushes me toward the bed. I go down willingly, until my elbows hit the messy sheets and I'm on my knees, my butt in the air. He moves behind me, palming my ass, massaging and kneading. A slew of tingles pool down my lower back, spreads over my flesh. That dark, uncharted hole clenches. Moisture dribbles down my core and along my inner thighs. Thomas swoops it up with a finger, bringing it to my pussy and painting it over my dripping lips. Many jerks float down my body, making me hump the air. I look behind to find Thomas focusing on the movements of his finger. His brow is furrowed as he adds his other hand to the mix, inserting a thick digit inside my core. He stretches my tight hole and my swollen lips using his fingers and thumbs. My cheeks are parted and I'm exposed to his eyes. But I can see he isn't happy. He wants more. It's in the way his body shifts with impatience. His nails dig into my ass as he stretches me farther. The tight ring of my asshole pops open. I can feel it. I can feel my pussy gushing and dousing me in a weird combination of arousal and shame. Then he does something that throws me into a different stratosphere of lust. His lips pucker, and he spits on my asshole. As soon as the warm liquid hits me, my hips twitch. Thick, knotted ropes inside my lower tummy unravel, and I almost come, falling on the bed face first.
Can you feel how tight you are here?
His fingers work to lubricate me, spreading his spit over my tight ring, all the while playing with my other hole.
I knew you would be. I know you won't rest until I completely lose my mind over how tight and untouched you are.
He stops playing with my pussy and focuses only on my ass now. He inserts his wet thumb, and a tiny crumb of pain darts through my spine. It screams that I want this. I want him to take my ass and be my first. Arching my hips, I rest my cheek on the soft bed. I bring my arms back and put them on my ass cheeks, helping him stretch my hole.
Fuck.
He curses on a shuddering breath.
You're trying to kill me.
No. I mumble into the sheet, suddenly extremely horny and shy. I'm trying to get you to fuck me already. A pained laugh escapes him.
Yeah, I'll be dead before this is over.
Now that I hold myself open for him, he lets go and palms his cock. It hits my ass, the heat of it seeping into my skin. He spits again, this time on his head, and rubs the saliva all over his shaft. The view of it is hidden behind my raised ass, but I can imagine his rod shining, the foreskin sliding up and down, creating the magnificent friction I feel when he flicks my clit. The flex of his biceps relaxes as he halts the movement and looks up at me. I bite my lip, my chest fluttering up and down with anticipatory breaths. With his eyes, he tells me he is ready to take me. No words pass between us. This moment is too big for words. It can only be described in actions. He is going to claim the last part of me now. Thomas grips my waist with one hand, keeping me in one place, and with the other, nudges the head of his cock against my dark, tiny entrance. He pushes in, trying to breach the compact ring of muscles. It's hard. A struggle during which I squirm and scrunch my eyes shut, and he breathes in loud pants. Then a pop sounds and he is in. The sting of it. The pressure of it. I feel it fanning over my entire ass and spine. Hissing. I buck my hips, almost dislodging him, but he tightens his grip around my waist and keeps me steady. He keeps sliding his cock in, and I swear I hear the muscles stretching, peeling away from each other. Oh, God. Tears form as I breathe through my nose, trembling with pain. This was a bad idea. Bad, bad, bad. Thomas caresses my spine with his other arm, trying to soothe my skittish body.
It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay. I'll take care of you.
Is it all in? I whimper.
No, baby. Not yet.
He whooshes out a long breath. His strong thighs vibrate against the back of mine, telling the tale of his control and exertion. That slip of his tongue, that casually thrown in endearment, makes me open my eyes and look at him. Every hollow and crevice of his body stands taut and highlighted. He appears to be made of stone. My fire breather. My stone god. And I'm his baby. Baby. His head is dipped as if in prayer. His brow furrowed as if he can't afford to lose control and hurt me in the process, but I don't care anymore. I want him however I can get him. It hurts, I tell him in a small voice. His body jerks and his hazy eyes lift up. I pop my thumb into my mouth and suck on it, imagining it's his cock that I'm using as a sucker, like a good girl. I play his favorite game one last time, and his nostrils flare. He suddenly grows larger, bigger, tenser. I smile on the inside when his sweat-slicked palms grab both sides of my hips and he pushes through. I bite my thumb, moan around it, and close my eyes. The pain is excruciating, but as I surrender to it, I realize it ebbs in slow measures. Thomas grunts as he bottoms out, the coarse hair around his cock prickling the smooth skin of my ass. I imagine him watching me suck on my thumb, being still, being good for him. My heart pounds as I picture him gathering himself once again to pull out so he can push back in, smoothing his way through my tight chamber. He unclenches one hand and brings it to my clit, strumming the bundled-up button. My hips buck again, but as always, Thomas keeps me balanced. While playing with my clit and making my pussy bleed cream for him, he withdraws almost fully and then pushes back in. He huffs and I grunt. Sweat pools on my back, skates down to my neck, tickling me. Moaning, I rub my heavy breasts on the soft bed, seeking friction for my engorged nipples as Thomas finds his slow but confident rhythm. The pain is there, but it's bearable. Pleasurable, even. One last time he tells me a story, dirty and pornographic. He tells me how tight I am, how amazing I feel. He tells me men would kill to get inside my pussy, my ass. Doesn't matter which. As I listen to him and lose my mind, I know I don't care about any other men. I only care about him. Our flesh is sliding together, oiled with sweat and my own juices. Then Thomas shifts onto his knees to bring his leg out and around my hips, changing his angle. Weirdly, I feel his cock in my spine. I feel it bumping against the ridges of my bones and I explode. Spurts of cum burst out of me, drenching my thighs and his too, I'm sure. My body is tight and loose at the same time, bucking and shivering. A beast I can't control. For a second, I'm scared it won't ever be over. That I'll never regain control of my own body. A shriek echoes in my throat, but his hand over my mouth tamps it down. I put my own hand over his and grab onto it. Behind me, Thomas jerks. He rotates his hips in a telltale sign of his climax, and I squeeze his palm over my mouth to tell him I'm here, that it's okay to let go. He falls over me as his cock pushes out hot cum. I sigh under his delicious weight, and we lie in the puddle of our orgasms. His shuddering chest bumps with my back, his arm thrown over my shoulder. I smell his skin, nuzzle my face in the coarse hair of his forearm. His sighs scatter the hair on my neck. For the first time in a long time, I feel sleepy on my bed. I don't need the hard surface of the bathtub. My eyes are on the verge of falling shut when I hear him whisper, almost distractedly.
You bring them back. My words.
It's so soft and thin that it could almost be a dream. In that dream, I could almost imagine that he came here not to say goodbye, but to tell me he loves me. I fall asleep in the wake of those three imagined words. Chapter 28. When I woke up this morning, Thomas had left. I'd expected him to, but I wasn't expecting to find myself tucked under my purple blanket, sleeping soundly on the bed. At some point during the night he moved me, put me under the covers, and crept out silently. For some reason, that hurts me more than anything we've ever done. My coffee sits on the kitchen counter, untouched and cold. I had all the plans of holding my head up and moving on. But everything hurts. Hurts. Like I've been run over by a car. Emma's door opens and I quickly wipe away all the tears. Turning, I greet her with a fake smile.
Ready to go?
No, class is canceled. I just got an email.
Relief is my body's first reaction.
I don't want to go. I don't even have a plan in place as how to face Thomas. How to be normal around him after everything. Then my brain catches on. What? Why? Her expression is both horrified and confused. I got a text from Samantha, who got a text from Brian. He says he actually saw it, or maybe heard it from somewhere. It doesn't matter. But Professor Abrams, his wife's in the hospital. She tried to kill herself. A buzz enters my mind. A constant sound of static that invades my ears, and it doesn't stop there. It floods over my body. I see Emma. I see her lips moving. I see the frown on her face, the agitated lines around her mouth, but it doesn't register. Nothing does. Thomas. He needs me. I know he does. I need to go to him. I need to find Thomas. This can't be happening. I saw her yesterday and she was fine. I saw her with my own eyes and, oh my God, he loves her. He loves her so much and... Did I do this? Was it me? Did my going there bring this on? Maybe she realized how much I love him too. Maybe she found out about us. It's my fault, isn't it? My world screeches to a halt and then shakes violently. Layla, what the hell are you talking about? Emma is closer to me than before. How did she get here? I look down and see coffee spilled all over the floor. Some of it splashed over my bare feet, with shards of my broken mug scattered around. I need to go see him, I tell Emma. I don't understand.
When did you see his wife? Why is it your fault?
I realize I was saying it all out loud. I don't have time to explain things right now. I need to go find Thomas. Do you know where? I take a puff of breath, trying to make sense of words which are failing me right now. She's at the hospital. She's fine, at least that's what I heard. It's all over campus. Okay. I walk around her. I need to go to the hospital, right now. Emma stops me then. Layla, there's more. Her tone sends a chill down my spine. Cold curls around my bones and hunkers down. What? What is it? She is wringing her hands, agitated. I heard that their baby, the one we met at Creme and Beans all those weeks ago. She is shaking her head. Why is she shaking her head? Layla, He's in the hospital, too. What does that mean?
I don't know. I heard he's in the ICU or something.
Nikki? I shake my head at Emma's sympathetic, pitying face. Why? I mean, what happened? How can he be in the ICU? Isn't that serious? She puts her hand on my shoulders and rubs my skin in circles. Shit, Layla. You're shivering. You need to sit down for a sec, okay? No. I stop her from pushing me down on the bar stool. No. Tell me where Nikki is.
Layla, I don't really know, honey. I told you what I heard. I've got no idea how any of this happened.
I break out of her hold, numb and charged at the same time, ready to stride over to the front door.
I need to go. I need to find Thomas, okay? I need to tell him Nikki is fine. He must be freaking out right now.
Layla, you need to listen to me. Just please, listen to me. She goes to grab my arm and I spin around.
No, I shout. No! I don't need to do anything but find Thomas, okay? He needs...
My voice breaks and I take in another breath.
I just need to get to the hospital. Right now.
Emma nods.
Okay, I'll take you. I'll find out what hospital they were taken to, and then we'll go.
I nod, and then my legs give out, and I crumple to the ground.
Layla. Lala.
Yes, I'm Layla, or Lala, whatever. I sip my coffee, and he chews on his tiny fists, staring at me in fascination. His eyes are big, wide pools of blue water. He's adorable.
You want to drink my coffee, little guy?
He gurgles.
Okay, tell you what. I'll give this to you if you say coffee. Say coffee.
Thomas sends me an exasperated look.
What?
I'm teaching him a new word. I look at Nikki.
Come on, Nikki. Don't let me down.
Say coffee.
Coffee.
He chortles. Thomas is pursing his lips, holding back a laugh.
Oh, you're enjoying this, aren't you?
You wait and see. The day will come when Nikki's going to say coffee and love me more than he loves you.
We're here, Layla.
Emma's voice brings me to the moment. We're at the parking lot of the university hospital, and I'm surprised to find tears tracking down my cheeks.
I don't know why I'm crying.
They told Emma that Hadley is going to be okay, and I know Nikki is going to be fine. I know it. Even though they said he's in the PICU and chances are he won't survive the night. I mean, what do they know? They said chances are, right? Chances could mean anything. So my tears are stupid. I jump out of the car and make my way toward the front entrance. When I see Thomas, everything is going to be okay. I chant it to myself over and over. Emma talks to the lady at reception, but she is refusing to give us anything. We're not family. A movement in the periphery catches my eye, and I turn to find Susan walking down the hallway to the left of the reception desk.
Susan!
She is startled to see me walking toward her.
Layla, why are you crying?
Her cheeks are tear-stained, similar to mine. It makes me feel panicky.
No, don't cry. There's nothing to cry about. Everything is going to be okay. They told Emma...
I turn to point her out at the desk.
Hadley's gonna be fine.
She covers her mouth to muffle a broken sob.
Nikki. He's fine.
My shrill voice surprises her and she looks at me like I'm crazy.
Nikki's fine. Nothing's going to happen to him. He's fine.
You know he likes to put all his toys in his playpen.
Every night he makes me gather them up and put them in one corner.
She hiccups.
He looked like an angel this morning playing with his little elephant.
She looks like she's going to fall, so I put my arm around her shoulders.
Then Hadley woke up early, and I asked her to watch Nikki while I ran to the store to get the formula.
I didn't want to. I didn't want to leave him alone, but I didn't know how. I forgot to stock up on it, and he needed it. I thought I'd be back soon. But the store didn't have it, so I had to drive a little farther.
Susan is full-on crying now.
I want to snap at her, but just then Emma walks over to us, puts her hand on my shoulders, and shakes her head once, telling me to rein it in. But by the time I got back, he was almost gone. I called 911, and then I looked for Hadley. She was in the bathroom unconscious. Susan's sobs are dislodging something inside me. My stern, stark belief that Nikki is okay. And I don't like that. I don't like it one bit. I move away from her. Where's Thomas? Susan takes a while to answer. A while that stretches thin and brittle. She tells me he's on the third floor where the PICU wards are located. In the waiting room. I dash upstairs unseeing, barely conscious myself. My feet stop when I catch sight of him. His back is to me. The wide berth of his shoulders is the only thing I see. He's standing in the middle of the empty waiting room, facing the glass doors that lead to the hallway containing the wards. It reminds me of the night I saw him through his window. Even through his gray shirt, I see the bunched-up muscles, the tensed patterns on his back. That night, I couldn't console him. I couldn't touch him or tell him everything was going to be okay. But I'm going to do it now. I walk toward him, slowly, my steps quiet like a flickering, dying breath. Thomas? He doesn't move. I don't think he even heard me. I walk around and come face to face with him, or something that looks like him. Something that's as tall and as wide but somehow shrunken. A husk of a man, pale and haggard with barren eyes. Thomas, I call again, this time louder than before. His gaze snaps away from whatever tortured vision he's been having and settles on me. Everything is going to be okay, I repeat for the millionth time. The more I say it, the more dusty and scraping it feels in my mouth, as though I've swallowed a sandstorm and my body is filled with crunchy grains of the desert. But I push on. He needs me. I'm here now. Everything is going to be fine. Hadley's fine. I swallow and get close to him. My neck strains as I look at his face, immobile and dead. Thomas, don't worry. They're all lying about Nikki, I know it. Trust me, okay? I'm shocked at the release of a shattered sob. It sounds so much like Susan's. The woman who thinks Nikki is almost gone. I'm not that woman. My sob shouldn't sound like hers. I know Nikki is gonna be okay. He has to be. There's no other option. The sound of my pain wakes Thomas up, but he still doesn't see me. He's too occupied in his own head, too overcome with his grief. I never thought sadness could be violent and savage, but on Thomas it is. His devastation is brutal. I'm readying myself for it to rain down on me. It never comes, however. He walks away. His legs eat up the distance and he's opening the door to the stairwell. I run after him. I snatch his arm and stop his progress just as he reaches the edge of the greenish stairs. Thomas, wait. Just look at me, please. It's going to be fine, I'm telling you. Just please look at me. I beg, and then he does. He looks at me, and fury blazes through his eyes. He grabs my bicep and shakes me, jarring every single one of my bones in the process.
My son's dying, Layla.
He spits out my name like a toxic curse.
They won't even let me in. They won't even let me see him. He almost choked to death on a fucking button, and they won't even let me see my own son.
He's at a stage where everything looks like food and drool-worthy.
I sob again, and it is broken and strangled, with enough power to destroy me.
Do you know why no one was there to stop him?
His grip tightens on my arm and he pushes me, walks me backward, thumping my back and my head to the cold wall. I bite my lip to stop from crying out in pain.
Because my wife was busy killing herself,
he snarls.
She was busy swallowing down a bottle of sleeping pills.
By the time he finishes, his snarl has become a roar as he belts out his pain. He slaps his palm on the wall beside me. But then the fight is leached out of his body as if that one slap to the wall was all he had in him. His voice loses its violent quality and is now fraught with torture.
I thought everything was fine. I thought if she let me touch her, then she must have forgiven me. She asked me to hold her, and I thought she must love me back. Maybe not a lot, God knows. I don't deserve that. Now more than ever. But at least a little. And now, everything is broken. My entire family is torn apart when I just got it back.
There's a crack in his voice, right in the middle of it. It breaks my heart, crushes it into a pulp. I'm bleeding on the inside. I remember the odd glow I saw on her yesterday. She was tired, but peaceful. She was happy, and I fucked it all up. It was me. I swallow. I did that. It's my fault. I went to your house to see Nikki. I wanted to tell him I'd back off. That I broke all the rules and fell in love with you and I saw Hadley and I...
You fell in love with me,
he says. It's a flat statement. I would have been fooled by the calmness of it if not for his pulsating cheek. Thomas, I...
My family is dying because you love me,
he says matter-of-factly, and I go speechless at the inferno bursting through his red-rimmed eyes. Thomas is burning up. His thick fingers are going to leave a burn mark around my bicep. It wouldn't be anything I don't deserve. I'm bracing myself for it. I'm bracing myself for whatever punishment he wants to dole out. His gaze tells me that I disgust him. But again, nothing comes. The pressure of his grip eases as he whirls around, momentarily dazzling me. His dismissal is confusing. His restraint increases my urge for the punishment. I don't want his control. I want his fury. All I can think about is that he's hurting because of me, and he needs this. He needs to hurt me back so he can get some closure. I'm both calm and frantic in my thinking. I go to grab his shirt. To stop him? Tell him to hit me, punch me in the face? Kick me to the ground for murdering his family? I don't know. But he jars to a halt, and the impact of it makes my boots slip on the shiny floor of the stairwell. Suddenly, I'm airborne. I'm flying. Falling, literally. My body is bounding down the stairs, and as I hit the ground, all I think about is how fucking sorry I am. How fucking right it is that I'm going to die now because my love is so toxic. And then the dark, sticky fingers pull me under. And I go to sleep. I come to, surrounded by the beep, beep, beep of machines. And that clean but diseased smell of the hospital. Before I even open my bleary eyes. The bone-deep despair rises to the surface. The panic. The helplessness. It all stampedes on my chest and I gasp, trying to sit up.
Hey, you're awake.
I focus on a sleep-ruffled Caleb.
What? Oh, God, the pain.
I press my fingers to my throbbing head.
Here.
Caleb produces a cup of water with a straw. Urging me to take a sip. I obey, the water soothing the dryness in my throat. He puts the cup away and faces me, shushing me when I try to speak.
Don't. Your head's gonna hurt for a while. Just give it a rest for now.
I can't,
I groan. Even that small whisper rattles inside my skull, tears prickling my eyes.
I've got so many questions. So many, many things to ask him.
He strokes my hair.
Hey, it's gonna be fine. Everything is going to be okay.
Helpless, I lie there, crying with bitter irony. I can't believe I said those very things not long ago. It's gonna be okay. It's all fine.
Nothing is fine. Not a single thing.
I don't even know how long I've been out.
Thomas?
His face hardens.
I have never seen him with that expression.
He's gone.
I shift on the bed, struggling to get up, but Caleb pushes me back down. Somehow I manage to ask, why?
Are you fucking serious right now, Lay?
I sink into the hard pillow, horrified by his cursing. Caleb never uses bad words, ever. It ratchets up my anxiety even more. There's some advantage to knowing a person for a lifetime, because Caleb can read the emotions on my face without me having to spell it out.
You fell down the stairs. It's because of him, isn't it? Do you remember that?
Words scrape my throat as they struggle to come out.
No. He didn't do anything. It was me. I was going after him.
And this is right on so many levels. Caleb's face hardens even more before going slack.
It's not your fault.
Tears are streaming down and my head is buzzing with the pain.
You don't know. Hadley, she tried to kill herself because I went to their house.
Caleb shakes his head, but I forge on.
She knew Caleb. She could see I was in love with her husband. And Nikki, is he?
It's getting harder and harder for me to talk. My head is going to explode and I can't breathe with all the snot running down my nose. Caleb hands me a tissue. But I don't care about the tissue.
Please, please, please let him be okay. Please, God.
He's fine. He made it.
Caleb's voice breaks through the mayhem in my head. He's nodding, repeating what he just said.
He made it. Nikki is fine. He is?
I whisper.
Yeah, he's okay. He's out of the critical care and so is Hadley. Everything is okay now.
I nod and nod again. I keep nodding, and my tears keep rolling down my cheeks.
Thank God. Thank God. Thank God.
I can't form the words. The feeling of relief is huge inside me. So fucking huge. The pressure evaporates from my chest. Suddenly, I've become loose, flexible. But it's all wrong, isn't it? I need to feel the pressure. None of this would have happened if not for me. I went to their house, their safe place, and fucking destroyed everything.
I almost killed him.
My words are thick and wet with my salty tears.
Layla, listen to me.
He waits till I look at him.
What happened to Nikki is not your fault. If anything, it was Hadley's. They're talking about a psych eval for her.
What?
She tried to kill herself, Layla. That's a serious thing, not to mention the kid almost died on her watch. She'll probably get slapped with charges of neglect or maybe more. None of that has anything to do with you. You couldn't have brought it on just by being there.
Caleb doesn't know. He doesn't know the extent of it.
My family is dying because you love me.
He didn't see Thomas's face. He didn't see how I took everything from him when he'd just gotten it back.
Do you know where Thomas is right now? Can you take me there? Please, Caleb, I really need to see him.
I grab his hand, pleading.
No, I wouldn't tell you even if I knew. They flew Nikki out to a different hospital in the city, and they both left with him. Thomas and his wife. That's all I know.
Panicked, I try to scramble up. I need to see Thomas. I need to apologize. I need to do something. He might hate me, but I know he needs me. Caleb overpowers me easily. He pushes me down on the bed and holds me there.
Jesus, Layla. Look at yourself. You need to take care of yourself. Shit.
His face crumples then, almost crying, but not yet.
When your mom called me, I was, God, I've never been so scared in my life. And to come here and to find out the man responsible for your accident is your professor? Is that the guy you love? Is that why you wanted to stay here instead of moving to the city?
I never told Caleb who I'm in love with after dropping the bomb on him when he came to visit. I just ran out of there when I had the epiphany. I struggle to get up once again. This time, however, Caleb doesn't have to come to stop me because I collapse all on my own.
He's hurting, Caleb.
I cry, fisting the sheets covering my frail body. I need to go to him.
What you need to do is rest. You're gonna need your strength. Your mom's here, and so is your dean, and they know about everything.
Again, I don't have to ask. Caleb understands on his own.
Someone told them.
Who? He sighs, rakes his fingers through his hair.
Sarah Turner? Does that name make sense to you?
I nod. She wants his job.
They want to talk to you. There will be an investigation.
He gives me a meaningful look. There's no need for one. I avert my eyes. I pursued him. I literally stalked him. Went to his house. I fell in love with him. It was all me.
He was right,
Caleb mutters. Who was right? I ask. But I don't really care about the answer. It's all automatic. I feel the animation and emotions leaving my body. I actually feel lighter, thinner because of it. Like a little tap would turn me to dust.
He told me not to say anything, but I know you. You're insanely stubborn, so...
Thomas was here last night. I whip my gaze back to him as my heart drums from beyond its grave. Thomas?
You were out cold. He told me to tell you it isn't your fault. I wasn't supposed to tell you that message came from him, though.
He said that? That's what he said?
Yes, among other things.
What things? Sighing, he turns his face, and for the first time, I notice the left side of his jaw is swollen.
He punched me, told me it was because of what I did.
My eyes widen and a pounding starts in my head again. Caleb puts a calming hand on my shoulder.
Relax. You're gonna make yourself worse.
And he just left after that?
Yes.
He stares at me with pity.
He wasn't going to stick around anyway.
Caleb doesn't say it, but I can read his expression.
What were you thinking? Sleeping with a married professor?
Of course. Yeah, I know that. I shake my head as tears fall down in a thick stream. Why would he? I almost killed his family, I want to add, but my voice shuts down, along with every other function of my body. I become useless and limp as Thomas's words swirl around in my head.
My family is dying because you love me.
How could I have done this to him? How could my love be so toxic, selfish, and greedy? A fucking demon.
It isn't your fault.
I don't believe Thomas. How can it not be my fault? I went there when he specifically asked me not to. Maybe he was just being kind to me while I was unconscious, and that kills me even more. I thought I did everything right this time. I thought my love wouldn't eat me from the inside out. I thought it wouldn't hurt anyone. Turns out my love is cannibalistic. Turns out I don't deserve to love anyone, much less have that love reciprocated.
Chapter 29. The Bard. 4 months later. He looks at me with bright blue eyes. His dark hair falls to his forehead and drool hangs from his lips. Yeah, I might need to get that later. But for now, he's happy to be a free agent. He's on all fours, grinning at me, or rather the purple blanket I'm holding in my hands. Come on, buddy. You want this? I wave the small blanket at him, and his grin gets wider. Then come get it. Come on. I egg him on, and he shrieks, and crawls over it as fast as his knees and dimpled palms will allow. I laugh at his enthusiasm and haul him in my arms when he reaches me. His shrieks and mirth get louder as I lift him up. He's lighter than air, but I know he's put on weight. His red cheeks have become fuller and healthier. He is happy and oblivious. He doesn't know that mere months ago he almost died, that the button from his favorite purple elephant almost killed him. And I wouldn't want it any other way. I don't want anything tarnishing his pure innocence. Nicky gurgles when I put him down on the floor and give him his blanket. Muttering to himself, he snatches it from my hands and begins to rub his face on the soft fur. Then he proceeds to blow raspberry kisses on it, and I chuckle. A strained, almost choking sound. Something about his playful actions, about the fact that he can do this. that he gets a chance to do this, lodges something sharp in my throat. I look up when I hear Hadley come into the room. She's freshly showered, her hair up in a neat bun, and her smile in place. Like Nikki,